In Search of Madness, a psychiatrist travels through the history of mental illness, written by Brendan Kelly and read by Kieran O'Brien. In 1684, Nathaniel Lee, an exuberant Restoration playwright, was committed to Bethlehem Lunatic Asylum in London, widely known as Bedlam. Lee objected vociferously. "They called me mad, and I called them mad, and damn them, they outvoted me." Lee was discharged, recovered after 5 years in Bedlam. He died in a drunken fit 3 years later, but his comments about madness retained their resonance today, over three centuries later. Who is mad, and who is not? Who decides? There are two key reasons why Lee's words echo today. In the first place, the fear of serious mental illness remains one of the most basic fears to haunt the human psyche. Most of us secretly worry about our sanity, at least from time to time. All of us dread the prospect of mental illness, holding as we do our rationality and autonomy at the core of our identity. If we lose those, what is left? Lee saw his rationality impaired and autonomy taken away, emerging from the asylum after 5 years in a quieter state, but far from cured. Soon he died. His story is a terrifying one. Could this happen to me? The second reason we fear mental illness is that its borderlines have never been clearly defined. In Lee's case, his fate was decided by a consensus of experts. Today, psychiatric diagnoses and their implications are decided by a complex mixture of doctors, psychologists, other mental health professionals, and occasionally, judges in courtrooms. Formal criteria for diagnosing mental illness in handbooks published by the World Health Organization and the American Psychiatric Association have never been so detailed, but have also, paradoxically, never been more negotiable. On paper, at least, many diagnostic decisions depend on the severity of such common feelings as anxiety and depression, with the result that the demarcation between the mentally well and the mentally ill is sometimes unclear. When does unhappiness become depression? At what point does a tendency to check the locks and windows shade into obsessive-compulsive disorder? What differentiates a general mistrust of other humans from paranoia, delusions, and psychosis, indicating a significant break from reality? In other words, how can we know who is mentally ill and who is not? Which am I today? Which will I be tomorrow? As a psychiatrist, a medical doctor who specializes in the treatment of mental illness, I am only too familiar with these problems and dilemmas. They are not without basis. Much is uncertain in this field. Everything is contested. But neither is the situation quite as unfocused or arbitrary as is often feared. No one can deny the reality of psychological suffering. Few can ignore the impulse to help a person whose mental distress is both obvious and solvable. These things are real. Against this background, the practice of psychiatry remains a very human endeavour that is largely understandable if we look carefully at the broader landscape in which it developed. It is essential that we take this wide view, examining psychiatry from a range of perspectives, not just a scientific one. People with mental illness deserve no less.